Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Women Emerging podcast. I'm Julie Middleton, Director of Women Emerging. Every week I speak with women around the world of different ages and in different sectors about how they lead, because we need many more women leading in the world today. We explore how women lead differently and do it their way, which is authentic, fulfilling, and highly effective. You have to be you and not someone else. This episode is a tough one. It's part of the how-to series, and of course it's about how to fire somebody. Smahaina's bravely taken on this episode because I think she felt it was something that no one ever explained to her when she started being a leader. And she got it wrong the first time and feels very strongly that we need to share how to do it right. And at the heart of what I think she discovered is that you absolutely cannot be anybody other than you when you're doing it. You can't be an HR person, you can't be a lawyer, you can't be some hard person that you think you should be. You have to be you. And that if you lose sight of your essence when the tough conversations happen and the tough things have to be done, then what's the point in having an essence at all? So this is a very, very, very practical episode, full of the advice shared bravely by Smahaina, based on what she got wrong a very long time ago and which still burns inside her. Putting it right is important for all of us. It's not just about getting your leading right in the good times. It's about getting your leading right in the tough times too. So lots of practical advice. Over now to Smahaina. Smahaina, this is going to be a really difficult episode in some ways, isn't it? Because it's such a horrible episode. But if you're leading, it happens. You do sometimes have to fire people. And it is a reality. And I remember talking to you about how the first time you did it all wrong. Tell us your disaster story first. When you did it wrong, what did you do?
Well, thank you, first of all, for thinking about me for those horrible episodes. Always nice. But yes, totally.
You were perfect.
So, yes, actually, the first time I did it totally wrong. And let me first start by making a distinction to understand why I did it wrong. I did it wrong because for me, those hard conversations are split in why you're doing it and how you're doing it. I was pretty young. I think I had 2 or 3 years working experience. It was my first job, first time that I had to manage someone in a team. And I was sure that the reason why I had to fire the person was good. And we talked about it with my management, with HR. So we were pretty aligned about that. But the way we did it, or I did it, was not good. And this is a crucial difference. And this is actually why it went totally wrong. It was a hard conversation. It is always a hard conversation. But what is important is to do it in line with your values and what you stand for. I was young. I was pretty intimidated. So let's say that I followed the general opinion on how it should be done. People around me, I was surrounded by older and more experienced people. And I followed the process and what they suggested to do. And I felt bad before that, but I knew that it was going to be hard to do. But there is a difference between being hard because the conversation is hard and being hard because you're doing it the wrong way. It was messy. It started with the conversation on the phone to invite the person to come. The person didn't know what to expect. He was in a process of a development process to because the performance was not good, but nor in the process or in the communication were the steps clear on what and how it should happen, etc. And then the person was really, you felt that he was scary, so he was trying to avoid the conversation. It was all messy from A to Z. I think it was something like 16 or 17 years ago, and I still think about it as a horrible experience.
Even now?
Even now, yes. It's really one of the black dots in my career. It's really still now one of the worst experiences because it wasn't done in line with, yes, what I stand for. And one of the, let's say, guidelines that I have is to try to treat people the way you want to be treated. And oh, I wish I will never be treated this way because it wasn't properly done.
And were you hard and mean, or were you soft and confusing, or what in the actual meeting, what did you do wrong?
Oh, it was actually much more the practical way. I was not hard. I was not mean. The message was hard enough. But it was much more in the practical details and the organization and the location that it was not very good. And also, when we talk about and think about firing someone, we often focus on this very last discussion, of the manager saying that the person is fired. But the process of firing someone starts very much earlier. It should actually start earlier. It's about having different hard conversations, plural, not just this last one. It's about mentioning that there is a gap between what is expected and the reality, whether it's about performance or soft skills or whatever, but it's really a process of different conversations. And in this proper example, this process was not strong enough, respected enough, and it ended with the last conversation.
So it's why and then how. And we're going to focus on the how, but just a moment more on the why. I remember you use an expression that if there's a doubt, there's no doubt. Just
yes.
Explain that.
So in HR, if there's a doubt, there's no doubt. You should be always aligned with your values. If you think in the process that something is missing, not good enough, not communicated hard enough, etc., then it's probably the case. So if there is a red light or red flag in your head, just follow it and make sure that it's clarified and that the person in front of you is also aligned in this process. It should not be a surprise for the person who is fired during this last conversation that the person is fired. So the person will be stunned, of course, but it should not be a surprise. It's hard and they will probably get emotional. That's normal, but it should not be a surprise. So if there's probably something that wasn't made good enough upfront.
So let's move on to the how. So what do you do in the how? Tell us about the how.
Sure. So as I said, it's all about brave conversations. And brave conversations will only be good if they are 100% aligned with who you are and what you stand for. It's crucial.
Give me an example. What do you mean by that?
Every leader of every manager has a character, has a way of doing things. You will get advice from your managers, from your colleagues, but everyone has its own style. It should be in your own style and also in your own words. Do it how you think it should be done. Do it like you would like it to be done if you were getting fired. This is really important because trying to fit in someone else's shoes will not, you won't be authentic. You won't, Yes, the conversation won't resonate just like it should actually resonate. And brave conversations, let's be honest, it's about being prepared. Preparation will be crucial. And for me, when we talk about very clearly about the conversation in say, it should be clear, it should be to the point, and you should show empathy.
Hang on,
When you
before we get to empathy, listening to you makes me think that sometimes people go into this process, they almost don't want a brave conversation because they somehow feel that this is a legal conversation and that they have to treat it as if they were a sort of amateur lawyer.
Yeah, true.
Does that ring a bell to you?
Yes, and it's also one of the elements I wanted to talk about. You have a relationship with your coworker, not HR, not legal. You built something, and it's not up to what you it's not what you expected. So you have to stop it for several reasons. But it's your responsibility as a leader, to use the word, to make sure that the person understands why it stops. And then you can hand it over to HR or legal for the process and for the administration aspects of the discussion. But the relationship you built was with a person. It was you and the person. So it's only fair that you drive this conversation, and it's not an easy one. I don't like those kind of comparison because the commitment is totally different, but it's like breaking up with someone. Yes, it's hard. You know you have to do it, but no one else can do it. You were in the relationship, so it's up to you to end it. And then you can hand it over for the practical aspect of it. But the relation was between you and this person.
So you're saying that you want to prepare very carefully. Then I think you say the meeting should be short. So a lot of time spent on preparation, but a relatively short meeting that is clear and simple and to the point and not open to interpretation.
Yes.
A person should leave the meeting absolutely clear
yeah.
what's happened and not, and you shouldn't sort of beat around the bush and sort of wander around.
So it's important, the conversation should be very clear and simple. The wording, the words that you use should be clear. No buzzwords, no fancy words. It should be really, yes, clear and leave no place for interpretation. So you are ending a contract, ending a collaboration. Then the specific words to use will be up to the yes, local culture or company culture, but you should state it and say it. We are going to end the collaboration. And then you can give extra information, but start with it. Don't beat around the bush. And afterwards, if needed, give a few extra words. But then again, make it short, make it simple. It's not about opening a negotiation or opening the conversation again. It's really about stating this is happening, this is why, but please, please, please be empathetic while doing it. What you
okay,
are.
So let's go to empathy. Talk to me about empathy.
What you are now communicating is life changing for the person. It's having a direct and an important impact on person's personal life. So it's normal that person gets emotional, let them. But it should be very clear and that it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about what you feel. What you are saying is hard, but you are just delivering a message. Someone is losing their job. It's hard. It's harder than what you are going through. So this is an important thing to keep in mind. Why? Because you can be, no, let's forget about the why. I will stop there.
So, yes, The emotional point is important, isn't it? Because sometimes you can feel yourself getting annoyed that the other person is getting emotional, and therefore you sort of either kill the emotion or deny the emotion, or even sometimes, even worse, you sneer at the emotion. But actually, you have to hold the moment, you have to hold the emotion, don't you?
Totally. And it's so every person will react differently, and in most scenarios won't have a the good role in the play, right? You are delivering a bad a difficult message, and the people in front of you will go through different a lot of emotion. They won't understand, they will be mad, they will be sad, there may be tears. It's normal. Each and everyone will have a different emotional process. Just respect it. Don't try to end it. Don't try to diminish it. It's life. And it's important also to leave room for that without trying to put words on it or without trying to be over empathetic if it means something. Just it's their moment, let them be, and just be present silently.
Because it's not your moment.
It's not about you, no. And again, if you were there, you'd probably also go through different colors, different emotion, and you don't need people to build on it or to try to explain you why you should or shouldn't react like that. So just leave them be.
It's interesting you use the word empathy. Do you really mean empathy, or do you mean respect?
It's about having enough empathy to respect the person, the person's moment, the person's feeling. And not just say too much, and not make it about you. This is, for me, this is empathy. It's not about trying to make them feel better. They won't, not now, not with you. It's really about respecting, being empathetic enough to respect that it's not about you, that you won't look good, and that it's not about you.
So let's get some more practical examples. And for example, if the HR people say they want to be at the meeting, should you let them be there or not?
That's an interesting question. I think this is often a company culture, maybe a country's culture. Personally, I've always chosen not to because the relationship has been between me and the employee. So it's been like that all along. So I think it's only fair to deliver the message personally and alone without having a formal setting with HR that will maybe avoid people to react more naturally or more authentically. So, yes, I wouldn't, but it's probably in some companies it will be mandatory.
Yeah, because you don't have the
But
option. Yeah.
sometimes you don't have the option, but what's important is after the discussion, if you have it alone without HR, is really to invite the person to meet HR just to go on with the next steps, legal aspects, etc., etc. But I prefer having it alone.
So tell me now, I completely understand that this meeting is not about you, but equally, you need to get in the right space yourself, don't you? You need to have the right body language. You need to have the right facial expressions. You need to be in the right frame of mind. Tell me about that.
Totally, really, just like I said before, it's a lot of preparation. A good conversation, a good deep conversation is about also preparation, and your state of mind is also important. The body language is important. Be in the moment, show to the person that you are actively listening. Your facial expression also, don't look around, look at the person, show them that you are there, show them that you care about this discussion, this conversation. Because yes, it's about two people communicating. So if your head is already in another room or in another meeting or busy with another topic, the person will definitely feel it, and it's a lack of respect. So your body language should be there. Your expressions, don't laugh, don't smile. It's a crucial moment. It's a serious moment, so you should be aligned to the moment. Also, being there 100%. Just foresee enough time, schedule enough time before the meeting. Don't come late. Also, after the meeting, because maybe you think, okay, it will just last 15 minutes, 30 minutes. I don't have a lot to say, but maybe that the person will have a lot to say. You never know how the conversation, what direction the conversation will take. So make sure that you'll take enough time, that you'll schedule enough time, that you do it also in an appropriate location, in an open space, a meeting space with glass door. It's probably in front of all the colleagues, probably not the best way to do it. So make sure that all the setting is correct, right, and respectful also for the person.
And then the really interesting thing you said to me was, do not start the conversation with ça va?
Yes.
Or in English, how are you?
This was actually the one of the only advice I was given before having to do it the first time. It was a colleague of mine, a female, a women director, who saw me. She was not involved in the process, but she saw me struggling up front. And she just took me in one room and she said to me, "Have you done that before?" And I was like, "No. Do you know how to?" And then she said, "You know, few things, but never start the conversation when you are greeting the person and welcoming them into the room. Never say, 'How are you?' Never say, 'Ça va.' It's really something automatical that you say without even expecting an answer sometimes." But she said, "Imagine the person says to you, 'My boyfriend just left me.' Or, 'I just lost my house,' or whatever negative things. It's impossible to move on from that. So it's very practical, but yes, just like I said before, hello, straight to the point. That's what we're here for. And say the words to make sure that there is no awkwardness."
But Sma, how can you be empathetic and not start with Sava?
Empathy is actually so, you should be so empathetic that you understand that it's important to be quick and to just say the words. This is empathy. It's not about looking good. It's about knowing what's needed in this moment. And in this moment, ça va is inappropriate. If she's and if the person says, "Yes, ça va," what will you say? "Yes, not for a long time." It's not appropriate. So empathy is about knowing what to say, when to say, what's good for the person in front of you, given the circumstances.
That's a lovely answer. Tell me, Sman, why everything you've just been talking about does fit your values, or in my case, it fits with your essence.
Yes, essence
How? In
is
what
better.
way?
Essence is better. One of my motto is treat people the way you want to be treated. And it's something that you can use professionally in a cafe, the way you treat the waiter, wherever you are. Treating people the way you want to be treated is my essence, is one of my, yes, values. I don't know if it's the word, but here it's about making sure that you deliver a hard message in a respectful way, in a kind way. I don't know if kind is the good word, but yes, you don't have to be mean to give a, you don't have to be hard to give a hard message. Kindness and empathy, this is actually, for me, leading a conversation of, yes, or having a conversation in line with your essence.
Thank you, Smain, for that. That was quite
That's a
very powerful piece of advice. There are some other things that you've said, so immediately wrote down. Empathy is knowing what's needed in the situation and with the person. It's not about looking good. That's a line that should be written on a lot of our foreheads, with the lazy use of the word empathy almost everywhere. That's really, really useful. But I think also that, as you said, you don't have to be hard to deliver a hard message. Lots and lots of practical learning. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So next week, we carry on with more practical learning about leading. In the meantime, thank you very much for joining the episode. And I send you lots and lots of love, Julia. There's also loads more you can learn from other women if you go to our website, womenemerging.org. That's womenemerging.org. Over time, we are determined to redefine leading so that more of us can say, if that's leading, I'm in.